I thought that was a layup. I was like, you know who's going to love this? Shilpa.
Christopher, no. It depends.
We got through it. Okay. We're all still here. Anyway, nobody died.
I'm glad that it worked out.
No thanks to you.
Hey there, listeners, future callers, and cooking enthusiasts. This is Dinner SOS, the show where we help you save dinner, or whatever you're cooking. I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious. This week's caller, Jillian, is from a coastal town on the North Shore of Massachusetts, and she's quite attuned to the local flora and fauna.
Do you know the app Sharktivity, where you could track the sharks? You have to download it because also you can pay to name a shark. So some of them have hilarious names. One's called Cool Beans. Let's see, Stormy Daniels. One of the things she said about Trump is that he hated sharks or was afraid of sharks. So someone spent $2,000 to name a shark Stormy Daniels or something like that.
But tracking the Sharktivity doesn't help get dinner on the table. And for Jillian and her husband, the new work-from-home era has proven to be a challenge in that department.
When I used to go into the office, I used to drive into the city. I would drive home, and it was really easy to, like, stop at the grocery store and pick up dinner for that night. But now that I'm working from home, honestly, sometimes I don't leave the house for like 3 days, which is not healthy, but it's true. I could be more organized. We should have things at home that we can just make dinner at. So yeah. I'd love to have things in the pantry, things in the freezer or the fridge that can be dinner when I close my laptop.
Okay. And I'm out of curiosity, what do you like eating or what do you enjoy cooking?
So we have a 27-year-old son who's living at home with us, who has celiac disease, so needs to eat gluten-free. It's really pretty easy to cook gluten-free. So it's something we take into consideration, but I don't feel like it's a hard thing to do. Sure. We are omnivores.
And are you the kind of person who, you know, it's a realistic scenario to just sit down for a couple hours on the weekend and meal prep for an entire week? Like, is that achievable for you? Is that how you could theoretically spend your time?
Theoretically. I will say aspirationally. How's that?
Interesting. Because I feel like, okay, because I'm of two minds. One is, you know what? Sometimes you just have to embrace the chaos and you have to just decide that like 5:30 to 6 o'clock is going to be the most productive part of your day where you're going to take whatever you got on the weekend, whatever you shopped for, and you're just going to make it happen. You know, you're going to get scrappy, you're going to get fast, you're going to get mean, and you're just going to make dinner happen no matter what, because failure's not really an option, right? Mm-hmm. But then the other part of me is like, listen, I hear that you're not looking to have like an insane coda to your day every single day, frankly, the way I do, you know, where I literally wander down to the kitchen at about 6 p.m. every night, like, where's dinner? And literally, I don't know. It's like, I look at that green pepper, you know, and I think, oh, what would it take to turn you into dinner? What would I need? How crazy can I get? You know, can a chickpeas and a green pepper in a dream? And you're halfway there. So part of me is thinking, okay, well, maybe then it's a question of what can you do on the weekend that is going to be a real investment in terms of time, right? Both to go out, shop, come back, and then be a meal prepper. Like that to me is, I find personally very challenging because who has that much time in any one day?
So realistically, as I think through it and as you describe it, I think I actually would be annoyed. I like the idea of like of closing the laptop and what can we make with what's here in the next half hour or hour.
Okay.
And my next hour of focus is like banging out dinner because I do like to cook. So that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, if you can just like devote the time one day a week to doing a pretty big shop, but then just commit to getting a little creative with how you get dinner together at home on a weeknight, I think you'll be in pretty good stead. But I think sometimes it's just a matter of seeing the multitude of possibilities that are right there in front of you, but that you might just not see the full potential of, you know?
Yeah, and that's it also you've uncovered another thing is that we are in such a rut. So My husband and my son both cook dinner as well. So I'm super lucky. All of us share cooking, but everyone does the same, like, two or three things. I mean, I'm a little extreme, but...
No, but tell me about that. What are those things?
So, okay, yeah. So I typically will do like, and see, this is already it because I don't want to go to the grocery store, like a vegetarian chili with, you know, canned black beans, kidney beans, and, mm-hmm. you know, cannellini beans. So I can go down, I have all that stuff. I know I can put that together. So I'll do that, or, you know, I will have like a vegetable or something. So I might do like eggplant parmesan. My husband is the big griller. Like he'll do grilled pork loin or grilled sausages. And then our son does like an oven crisp tofu. And then he throws lots of different spices on it, some honey and soy sauce, and we'll do some rice.
Got it. Okay.
They're all very good. It's just like enough already. Like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Anything else I should know? Anything you've been dying to learn to cook, or anything that just feels like unattainable on a weeknight, but in a perfect world you would eat?
I'd love more range because we are pretty adventurous. So something with really interesting like spices or a sauce. Like when I think about like grilling something, we have this, I don't know, I found this garlic, it's like garlic sauce. Anyways, like we put it on everything. It's getting ridiculous. Like we need, I mean, you know, like we're like, oh, with a garlic sauce, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So yeah. I feel like upping my game. I don't have a lot of confidence and a lot of range in sauces.
Got it. Okay. And talk to me. Okay. So aside from like the sauce that conquered all, this garlic sauce that you alluded to, what else is in your fridge right now? Like if I'm going to shout some things out and you're going to tell me if you have them or not. Okay. Oyster sauce.
No, that's also one reason for that is that it can be challenging gluten-free.
Okay, fair enough. Hoisin, yes?
Yes.
What about tahini?
Yep.
Sambal oleck or chili garlic sauce?
Yep.
Fish sauce?
Yep.
Fermented black bean sauce?
No.
I'm trying to think if there's something else that I would want to call out here. Like chili crisp?
Yep, chili crisp.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, that gives me a little bit of a sense. And... yeah, I feel like this is about, in terms of an arsenal of recipes that are really like half an hour to 45 minutes max and really can do some heavy lifting for you, would be great. I want to look into this question of like a gluten-free oyster sauce and a gluten-free fermented black bean sauce, because those two things have done a lot for me, just in terms of speed and impact.
Sounds great. I'm really excited.
You know I love a well-stocked pantry, so I'm going to be ready for this one.
As you know by now, that's the voice of the great Shilpa Ozgokovich, my colleague and frequent Dinner SOS sparring partner.
I won't give you too much else, because at the end of the day, this is a competition, and there can only be one winner.
It's generally me.
What?
Never mind.
Are you keeping score?
I want to say yes, but we both know I'm too frazzled to actually do that. But I know in my heart that I'm winning. So that's all that matters.
We're going to take a short break, but when we get back, Shilpa and I go head to head with pantry-driven recipes to help get Jillian out of her weeknight rut.
About your mama's kitchen.
This teeny tiny little room was where we did everything. We grew up there. We became teenagers, adults in that small space.
I'm Michelle Norris. The kitchen is usually the heartbeat of our homes. It's the place where we're nourished physically and spiritually. It's where the people we love most chased away life's furies with skillets and spatulas.
I love you. I really care about you. Those words don't come naturally. But what you can do is hand someone a corned beef sandwich that's the size of your head. And that means the same thing.
Every week, I'm serving up a new episode of this Audible original podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. They're available anywhere you listen.
We Welcome back to Dinner SOS. After we brainstormed recipes, Shilpa and I called Jillian back to commiserate about dinner.
There are just times when you don't want to stop at the store.
No.
And I think having a smartly stocked pantry is the backbone of so much of my cooking, at least. And I feel like you would agree.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I mean, these things like, you know, these ingredients that just become like your quiet workhorses. And I feel like for me, you know, I've started getting this, like, I think the brand is like Watchery. It's a pad Thai kind of like base sauce. Hmm. And like if you punch up the fish sauce and the lime juice to kind of pad it out, I've been making pad Thai at home and I'm like delighted with myself, you know? There's like all these little things that when you find something point being that works for you and you can work it into the repertoire, get it into rotation, it's so gratifying. Do you have stuff like that, Shilpa?
Yeah, I do. Mira and I love Korean food, so always have like gochujang and rice syrup.
Rice syrup?
Yeah, rice syrup.
Like a sweet product?
Like sweet, yeah. But it's in a lot of Korean cooking, you see it, and it really gives body to like a sauce or like when you make fried chicken and you want to glaze it.
This is new to me.
Yeah, we love Korean stuff. Toasted sesame oil, for instance, sesame seeds, soy sauce, which is a hard one, I feel, in the sense that there is... It's easily available, but I think it's good to have a good one, you know?
There's a lot of different styles of soy sauce.
There is.
Right? I mean, and it depends on the cuisine that you're talking about, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I think in America, like, I think we have a tendency to think of soy sauce sometimes as like a monolithic thing,
yes,
you know?
But it's, yeah.
But it's far from that, right? Mm-hmm. The way it exists in other cuisines.
Yeah. I generally prefer like the Japanese or Korean soy sauce, and that's what I stock. But yeah, I never stock. I know this is shitty of me to say, but I can't abide the one that you find in the...
Don't.
Okay,
don't.
Sorry.
What are you even doing right now?
Okay, never mind. Moving on.
Okay, so we have apparently a soy sauce snob.
Not a snob. It's just that sometimes soy sauce should be more than just salty.
Totally. I just think like... Never mind. You know, it's tricky, right? I don't think we've necessarily reached a tipping point where we can count on there being a multitude of styles of soy sauce in many grocery stores in the U.S.,
That's
right?
True.
It's like you really have to seek them out and then you have to use them accordingly.
Fair. I'll stop my rant.
No, that's cool. I've had a few tears today already, so.
No, we can, what recipes do you have in mind for
So that was you punting, that whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, let the record reflect, Shilpa punted. Okay, Jillian, I actually got very overwhelmed with this sort of assignment. And I think it was because I was truly trying to think of what are the things that I can come home or I can like go downstairs and 25 minutes later there's dinner. And I thought of one recipe that I just felt like it stars miso.
But, I love miso.
But it stars miso outside the application that you might be expecting of it. And let me walk you through this. So this is a recipe that was in our December 2022 issue by my colleague Zainab Issa. It's called Jammy Onion and Miso Pasta. And I know you mentioned, you know, you've got gluten-free, you know, individual in the house. The pasta I use, if we didn't already talk about this, it's worth sending away for if it's not available locally. Jovial brown rice pasta.
Yes, we can get it. So.
Okay. Jovial brown rice pasta.
I love that you said it's worth sending away for.
It's worth, no.
I love that. I love that. It's such a quaint phrase.
Listen, there was a time when it was harder to find. Now it's fairly ubiquitous. The brands that existed for like brown rice pasta before that were challenging. Mm. Really had a lot of deficits going on. I don't want to name names.
What do you feel about chickpea pasta?
An abomination.
Okay. Yeah.
If I wanted to taste chickpeas, I would eat chickpeas. I'd put chickpeas in pasta, but like, don't try to convince me that that's pasta. I'm so sorry. The lentil pasta. I think it's quite challenging. Somehow it got a pass, and I'm calling BS on it. I'm sorry.
Like, I think we're all
much gluten-free food gets the pass where you're like beyond me that it can be sold. So I totally agree with you.
But so Jovial pasta, the brown rice pasta they do is phenomenal. The texture, you are really hard pressed when you cook it right. You're hard pressed to know that it's not wheat-based pasta. And this is a really simple recipe. It's olive oil and butter used to sweat down two large onions until they're jammy and caramelized. Then some garlic, some miso, A little bit of broth. Frankly, it could just be water and it would still be fine. Then some spaghetti finished with some Parmesan. And we're using chive as a garnish, but you could literally go anywhere with the herb or just skip it altogether or top it with something else entirely. And I just love that, you know, there's a lot of back pocket pantry pastas that I've turned to in the past that, you know, aren't necessarily things that are entirely shelf stable. Like I've done versions of carbonara at home because I could always count on having some parm, like a chunk of pancetta or guanciale, some eggs, right? Those things stay good for weeks, if not months. And you can get a really compelling and satisfying dinner together in 20 minutes using them. But I love that this dish reflected a slightly, you know, to my mind, like slightly more modern approach where it is or can be vegetarian. And it's really making the most of these ingredients. And the miso here is used as this kind of like umami backbone that's kind of bridging the savory richness and depth of the caramelized onions and the Parmesan. And I think the miso is very, it's very credible in here in terms of like how it's functioning, but it's certainly not appearing in a kind of context that you might normally expect to encounter it, you know, in a Japanese dish, for example. Well, you know, so anyway, without too much further ado, I really like this pasta. And I think it's just like, you know, you can pretty much always count on having these things around in one form or another.
Yeah, 100%. And you got me at jammy onions. Mm. We love onions, can never have enough garlic. So that one, like, it's a pretty high bar that you're setting with that first one, because I'm like starving and want to make it now. And we have miso in the fridge. Can't wait to hear for the other one, but yeah.
Shilpa's been on a bit of a roll today. So honestly, who am I to stand in her way? She's probably going to steamroll me here, but that's fine. Honestly, like, I'm really curious more than anything, just what you're thinking.
Me too.
I picked Kendra's hummus balls with Marguerite spice tempeh.
Ooh, nice.
I remember when Kendra made it in the test kitchen and the light was hitting the salad just so. But it was a really, and I remember telling her when I tasted it, I was like, this is a dish I would make at home. Mm-hmm. And it really is. And there is a fresh element to it. There is some fennel in it, but to me, I think that's necessary. Like, I feel like if I cook out of my pantry, I always do want something fresh as well. Otherwise, I feel like, I don't know, I'm not doing justice. But it's built on things that are very shelf stable. Like, you start with a couple cans of chickpeas and then you doctor it up with, you know, garlic and lemon juice, and you make your own like quick hummus in the food processor. Mm-hmm. And you swoosh it on a plate, and then you make this spice tempeh mixture, which I think is just so brilliant, because you usually see tempeh and you're like, what is this and how do you use it? But treating it this way, where it's crumbled up and cooked until it's sort of crispy with all of these spices, just makes it almost like ground meat in a way, which I guess if you're vegan, you wouldn't appreciate that. But we're, none of us here are. So I think you would appreciate the fact that it just picks up so much flavor and just changes entirely. And it becomes this pebbly, crispy, bitsy thing that you sprinkle on top of the hummus, and it just works. It's simple. It's things that can keep in your fridge for a long time. Tempeh keeps in your fridge forever. And then the rest of it is just spices and pantry ingredients. And then there's this fennel salad. You just, you know, slice it up really thin, toss it with a little bit of onion and lemon juice. And then both of these things can stay forever. Like, fennel keeps in your fridge for, I feel like, forever. Yeah, that was my pick for you.
That sounds delicious too. Except I have one question. Yeah. And I think this was my bad, because I probably didn't say it. I don't love fennel, which doesn't mean that I'm not willing to try it, because I'm trying to like branch out and it sounds like a delicious treatment. Everything else sounds awesome. Is there anything you could suggest to replace the fennel?
The recipe has like it's a combination of fennel and onion. I would just drop the fennel and just up the red onion. That's it.
Like
just
some cucumbers. Okay. Would be really nice.
Cucumbers could work.
Thin sliced cucumber or like, if you're somebody who likes a radish, if you don't like fennel, screw fennel. Like, nobody needs to take a bullet for fennel here. You know what I mean? But like, put something else that's like crunchy and fun and textural on something else that's like unctuous and smooth and creamy. And suddenly you look like a freaking genius.
Yeah. Or like a pickled cauliflower would be really good, I feel like.
But that's a whole different. Now you're going crazy.
Yeah, it works, but it's a different beast.
This was on our May cover of the print magazine. And what I love about this dish is you look at the dish on the cover and it's so pretty and the light's hitting it just so. And you might be tempted to fall into the trap of thinking this seems A, complicated, B, like it would take more than a half hour or something to make. And it's really quite simple and approachable, but it's the intersection of a few different elements and the layering of those elements that I think really makes that dish shine because you have like the creamy protein-filled hummus. You then have this like crispy kind of meat-adjacent, you know, treatment of like very aggressively flavored tempeh. And then you have this bright, cool, crunchy salad on top. And those three elements really work together so nicely. And that's kind of a framework I've been using for a lot of weeknight dinners recently.
Yeah.
Part of it was your friggin' creamy tahini and harissa beef.
Which
was another great recipe that, you know, stars harissa as a kind of headliner pantry staple.
Yeah.
And Jillian, if you've never tried New York Shook harissa, again, it is worth sending away for.
I am going to add it to my send away list.
That's the only one we endorse in the test kitchen.
It's
the ideal balance. Harissas can get very bell peppery, or they can get like just sort of aggressively spicy. And this hits the sweet spot where it's got a lovely base of kind of rehydrated chili in there. It's not overwhelming. The backing spices in there are so lovely.
And the texture is just right.
The texture is just right. Like you can eat it just about straight up, but it just like it has like enough substance, if that makes sense. Like it's not overly concentrated, but it's not overly dilute. And I've been making hummus bowls at home and just letting the family add it, you know, like a creamy tahini sauce, a hummus, some pita, and whatever else happens to be lying around. And it's just a wonderful framework to base a meal on.
Oh, I mean, we do like dump bowls of what's in the fridge, but they're not a thoughtful bowl. And I love how you described. You're really selling the other recipe.
Yeah, no. And the reason I'm bringing up that creamy tahini and harissa beef, like, yes, it uses this sort of fresh product, which is to say ground beef. But, you know, listen, a brick of ground meat can be defrosted relatively simply like the day you want to cook it. But it's that intentional layering of ingredients. Like in this case, it's a very creamy tahini sauce. It's a cooked, very nicely seasoned ground meat, which is obviously super streamlined and easy to work with as far as like weeknight proteins go. And then you have these pita chips in there, you know, which add like crunch and an herb, which adds a little bit of brightness and freshness. So even if you were to take...
The pita chips are the game changer in
that
recipe.
The pita chips are a game changer.
That's my move now.
This was another December 2022 recipe, along with that jammy onion and miso pasta. Because, you know, I know you mentioned, Jillian, you know, your husband likes to grill on the weekend. As a way to like use up grilled meat or something that's kind of hanging around in the fridge, just like put it on hummus, get a drizzly sauce on there, throw some pita chips on it, and like an herb, and you're there. You're laughing, you know?
Oh, so now that's recipe number three you've given me.
So, yeah, so I like, basically gave you recipe number three, which is kind of like a quarterback sneak, trying to like fight Shilpa kind of one recipe.
Either way, I win because...
Yeah, whatever. I've heard that argument before. We're going to take another break. When we're back, I'll find out if my sneak attack third recipe tipped the scales or if Shilpa will reign supreme once again.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or anytime. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
And we're back with Dinner SOS. When Jillian first got on the line, Shilpa and I were having a, shall we say, spirited debate about an ingredient for an upcoming recipe. She's giving me all kinds of grief about like a little baking project she's doing that might or might not ultimately involve coconut extract.
Okay, you know what?
Oh, you're going to ask her?
Yes,
okay,
that's
great.
What I'm going
why don't you ask Jillian?
Okay, Jillian, here's the thing. If you had to make a coconut pie, mm-hmm. and you could either use coconut extract.
It's a chocolate.
Christopher, that doesn't matter. Calm down.
It's a chocolate pie with coconut. It's not a coconut pie.
It's okay. A chocolate and coconut
frame
cream.
It correctly, or I'm going to intervene.
It's a chocolate and coconut cream pie. You can add coconut extract to get good, strong coconut flavor. That's one way to achieve it. Mm-hmm. Or you would have to toast the coconut, use a combination of coconut cream and coconut milk, infuse the custard with the toasted coconut, possibly strain it. Maybe not.
Well, you never mentioned straining.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that's I threw that in just to...
You don't have to.
You don't have to strain.
Stacking the deck.
Okay, you don't have to strain.
I was going
to
say, I do not feel like this is an unbiased presentation of the facts.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll walk it back a little bit. So you have to toast the coconut, and then you have to use a combination of coconut cream and or coconut milk. Which would you rather choose?
I'm going with the extract. Also, remember, it's very hot. I had to turn the air conditioner off in my room, so I'm already sweating. So I'm imagining toasting the coconut, going with the extract. Sorry, there, Chris.
Okay, thank you. I knew you were a great caller. This reeled it right in. Thanks for settling the argument.
All right, whatever. Moving on. Jillian, I'm actually dying to know, what did you end up going with for dinner? And I'm curious, like, you know, especially like given it's been so hot, I feel like everything we gave you should have worked pretty well in terms of being stovetop, relatively streamlined and fast. Do you want to break it down for us?
I will. And you're absolutely right on that all three. So any of them would have totally fit in that. I want to have minimal amount. Don't want to turn on the oven. Have it on the top. Shilpa, sorry on this one, though. I went with the jammy onions.
Oh, amazing. That's a very good pasta.
Before we hear how it all went, let me walk you through how to make the extremely pantry-friendly jammy onion and miso pasta. First, thinly slice two onions and cook them in a combination of butter and olive oil until they're softened and brown around the edges. Then you build the sauce, gradually adding in sliced garlic, miso, and some broth or water. Add your al dente pasta into the sauce with some Parmesan, butter, and pasta cooking liquid, cooking until the cheese is melted and sauce clings to the pasta. Serve topped with chives and more cheese, and rejoice that you didn't have to put on real pants to go to the grocery store. Okay, so how was the pasta?
I have to say, Chris, it just so screamed our family, everything about it, like onions, garlic, miso, pasta. And the day I actually decided to make it, it was not just it had been a long day and I closed my laptop. It was also one of those days where it was pouring rain outside. So I was so happy to have something that I could just go and I don't have to go anywhere to do this. And it was super easy. It was together like in half an hour and so many onions. Like it felt like a lot of onions when I was chopping. Not that we could ever have too many onions, but I was a little worried, but they just amazing. Just great texture. The miso made them cook down so quickly. Again, I'm used to, I think, oh, are these onions going to cook down? It's going to be 45 minutes before they get soft. But as soon as I added the miso, they totally turned jammy and it just sped it up. It felt like.
Fascinating. Okay. And what were the reviews from your family members?
They were rave reviews. They loved it. It delivered on like really nice flavor, texture too. There was a discussion that it would be great with chicken added to it or tofu. So it felt like a great base too that we could add things to. And then actually it's really good cold. So there was a little bit left over and I'm both impatient and really like cold things. So I had it actually cold for lunch the next day too.
Wow.
A little bit of leftovers.
I feel like this is a recipe that would be a great base for adding other things. Like I feel like you could cook down some other kind of tender veg into that miso and jammy onion mixture, whether it was like hearty leafy greens, a more summery veg, even like zucchini, baby peas.
blanched, that would be good. Snap peas, green beans.
Yeah, I think any of those would be delicious. And I will tell you, I have tempeh in the fridge, Shilpa, so it's not yours. We're making that this week.
Great. That is a very good dish. Yeah, when Kendra made it, mm-hmm. that really blew my mind.
It was a hard decision, but we're such an onion family. He had a set of onions.
Do you feel like, Jillian, that this is giving you a different appreciation for how much you can do with like pretty basic ingredients on a weeknight? Or do you feel like you're still searching for a bit of inspiration to kind of give you that spark you need to close the laptop and just get right into the kitchen?
No, I loved it. It really did. And I'm not just saying this, it really changed that I could get so much flavor out of the really short ingredient list too, and that they all are in the fridge. So this absolutely delivered on, no, you've got it here and you can put them together. And as you say, then also grab something else, whatever's dying in the vegetable drawer, could throw that in too.
Yeah.
Was adding miso to your pasta something new for you?
It was, which is silly because we have miso and I put it in sauces and on proteins, but I never had put it on pasta before. So yeah, it was new.
That's great. So fun to be able to chat with you, Jillian. And
you were great. Yeah.
Oh, really, same. Shilpa, when is that coconut and chocolate recipe going to be?
Possibly never if she keeps this up.
I was going to say, I'm a little scared to say when. Who knows? Maybe it'll never see the light of day. But hopefully, if it does, it'll be for our Thanksgiving issue.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be watching it. And better not involve toasting coconut because even in November, it's not happening.
She had never mentioned straining before, for what it's worth.
Okay, yes, I tipped the scale.
Well, you know, it wasn't the straining that tipped the scale. There was a lot of work before you got to the straining. No, I'm not giving you that.
I love you. Come back for every call.
Oh, my gosh. If you have a dinner emergency on your hands, write to us at dinnersos@bonappetit.com or leave us a voice message at 212-286-SOS1. That's 212-286-7071. You can find the recipes mentioned on today's episode, jammy onion and miso pasta, hummus bowls with merguez spice tempeh, and creamy tahini and harissa beef on the Epicurious app brought to you by Condé Nast. Just search Epicurious in the App Store and download today. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice and hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. Dinner SOS is a Condé Nast Entertainment original podcast. I'm your host, Chris Morocco. My co-host this week is Shilpa Oskokovich. Our producer is Michelle O'Brien. Peyton Hayes is our associate producer. Cameron Foose is our assistant producer. Jake Loomis is our studio engineer. Amar Lal mixed this episode. Thanks to Gabe Kuroga for engineering help. Next week, Ira moved back to New York from Los Angeles in order to be closer to his friends, but in his new apartment.
My living room is pretty much a couch, two chairs, and then sort of a round dining room table, which should ostensibly fit four chairs, but pretty much sort of three because it's pressed against the wall. So I guess I'm figuring out how to still have a lovely dinner party for friends of mine in this cramped space.
This is Friday. I wrote to you. Apropos of nothing, by the way, you are a closeted pumpkin spice latte swilling monster. I see you for who you are. I am entering your triple pumpkin muffin headnote as evidence to the food media court of bad taste.
I think you should follow up with my defense of myself.
Here at Dinner SOS, we love tackling your kitchen issues. But what if I told you there's a way to rescue dinner before it turns into an emergency? With expert insights from the test kitchen, cooking and entertaining tips, and a treasury of over 50,000 recipes, Bon Appetit and Epicurious are your lifelines to rescue any meal. And right now, our listeners can get 20% off an annual digital subscription, including access to the user-friendly Epicurious app. Just use code SOS20 at bonappetit.com. That's SOS20 for a 20% discount on an annual digital subscription to Bon Appetit and Epicurious. Happy cooking. And don't worry,
I'll still be here if your dinner plan self-destructs.